During the spring of 2004, I was 19, even though I looked about 14. I was 5'0" and weighed about 100 pounds. That's if I was carrying laundry. My parents and aunt were vacationing in Mexico. I had decided to opt out and house sit for my aunt. I figured it would be a nice opportunity to have a quiet place to study for my upcoming exams. And all I really had to do was clean the pool, collect the mail, and restock the fridge with groceries. I also had a plan of action that involved emptying her safe and rescuing her car in the event of wildfires. Her place was high up in the hills of Southern California, with a terrific view of Long Beach. I mostly spent my time in the massage chair in the guest bedroom, playing music in the background while I pored over my psychology notes. Occasionally I would sit out on the balcony and work on my tan, or use the treadmill in the basement, but I mostly was secluded in the air conditioning trying to be productive. Every night I would set the alarm and make sure the security cameras were working before I went to bed. But on the fourth night of my stay, I was really focused on the books and forgot to set the alarm after it got dark. At about 1:30 a.m., I paused to take a break. That's when I realized how late it was. My stomach sank as I remembered that the basement door was unlocked, and I had to secure it before setting the alarm. Before heading downstairs, I wandered into the study to get a look at the security cameras just to be safe. I remembered thinking to myself, what are the chances that someone may actually be inside the house? As soon as I finished processing that thought, I saw the figure on the basement stairs. I remembered my mouth falling open and making a small croaking sound. There was a middle-aged balding man with glasses slowly making his way up the stairs, and to make the situation even more unnerving, in one of his hands he was holding a balloon. I stared at the cameras as he reached the top of the basement stairs and looked around before cautiously setting foot into the kitchen. My first thought was to slam the door, lock it, and call the cops. But deep down, I knew it would take the police between 10 and 12 minutes just to make it out here, and in that time, this guy could easily overpower me and drag me into the night. I suppose I could have hidden somewhere as well, but I didn't like the idea of trying to stay quiet while he wandered from room to room, searching for me. Instead, I decided to go on the offensive and try something, and it was both incredibly daring and amazingly stupid. I tiptoed back into my room, turned up the music, and then made a loud production of exiting the room, pounding my feet down the hall. I called out as loud as possible, "Marcus, I swear I heard something downstairs. Put on your shirt and grab the key to the gun cabinet." I was positive my voice was quivering as I said it, but I figured the music playing in the background would hide that fact well enough. I paused for a few seconds, waiting to see if he would call my bluff. But when all I heard was the silence from down below, I power walked back into the study, locked the door, and checked the cameras. Sure enough, he was scampering out of the basement door like a frightened squirrel. I watched him run across the backyard, around the pool, and disappear between the hedges. As soon as he was clear of the house, he let go of the balloon, and I watched it from my window as it lazily floated away towards the Pacific. I ran downstairs, locked the basement door, set the alarm, and called the cops. I also called my parents and aunt and told them what happened, asking them how I could rewind the footage to show the police. My aunt asked me why I didn't just hit the panic alarm on the security pad, and I had to admit that I hadn't even thought of that. To make a long story short, the police caught the guy a week later. He was sleeping in his car in a grocery store parking lot. Everyone always asked me what I thought the balloon was all about, and if I had to guess, I think it was a gift. This guy must have seen me a few times outside the house, surmised that I was alone, and assumed I was much younger than I really was. I have no idea if the guy is still in prison, but regardless of where he is, I kind of hope he hears this and feels stupid. He got scared away by nothing but the empty threat of a panicked girl with the strength of a malnourished gerbil. So this happened last year when I was house-sitting for my neighbor. He was in the hospital for a few days recovering from surgery, and I had been asked to stay in the house and keep an eye on his cats. The house was pretty small, but it was on a nice wide-open property by the woods. and there was a tiny swinging cat flap on the kitchen door, where the cats could come and go as they pleased. The flap led into a screened-in back porch, and the house only had one bedroom. So I chose to sleep on the couch in the living room. After cleaning up, feeding the cats, and watching some TV, I shut off all the lights and laid back on the couch. I had my phone out and was casually scrolling through Facebook when I heard the flap swinging back and forth. From where I was in the living room, I couldn't see the door because the counter was in the way, but I glanced over to see one of the cats scamper over and leap up on my legs. I gave it a welcoming pat on the head and continued scrolling. After another minute, I heard the cat door make a noise again, a soft squeak. This time, I didn't even glance over, figuring it was the second cat following the first into the house. Another few moments passed, then I heard the squeaking again, and after another moment, it squeaked a third time. I looked up from my phone, wondering why the second cat was jumping in and out like that. I was wondering if I would have to scoop it up and put it in the bedroom. The door continued to squeak for another couple of minutes as the second cat continued to jump in and out. I finally decided that I had enough. I put my phone down and sat up on the couch. I began to stretch. As I did, I happened to glance behind the couch, and my blood froze. The second cat was curled up in its bed in the corner, and the first cat was still nestled between my legs. My confusion turned to fear instantly. Was there another animal on the back porch? Another cat, maybe? I slowly stood up and carefully made my way over to the back door, tiptoeing across the carpet in my socks. The door made a squeaking noise again. I peered around the counter and felt the sensation of my heart leaping up into my throat. And at the same moment, my stomach dropped. By the faint rays of the nightlight in the hallway, I saw an arm reaching through the cat door, straining to get at the knob. The fingertips were brushing at the lock. For a few short seconds, all I could do was stare in terror, frozen by the surreal silent reality of what I was experiencing. It almost didn't feel real. The severity of the situation hit me, and I realized that if the intruder got in, I wasn't going to stand a chance. I grabbed a large two-pronged fork that was used for flipping steaks on a grill, and in one swift motion, I stabbed at the arm right below the wrist as hard as I could. There came a thunderous scream of pain from the other side of the door. And the arm was immediately retracted through the flap. But the fork had impaled the intruder, so it caught itself on the door. That produced a second loud scream, and the arm was wrenched violently outside. I heard the clatter of the fork on the ground, and then I heard footsteps sprint across the back porch and out the screen door. I immediately turned on the outside lights and caught the glimpse of a figure running towards the woods. Instead of calling the cops, I scooped up both cats, stuffed them into the same carrier, grabbed my phone, my shoes, and sprinted out to my car, which was thankfully parked inside the garage. I drove up the road a couple of miles to my place, and once I was safely inside, I called the cops. It took them half an hour to get to my place, and then another half hour of questioning before they continued down the road to check out my neighbor's house. They told me that there was no sign that the screen door had been broken into, and aside from the bloodstains, there was no sign of the intruder. They put out an alert to local hospitals for a man with a stab wound on his right arm. The following morning, the police brought a dog out to follow the scent, but whoever the lucky bastard was, he was never caught. I kept the cats at my place until my neighbor was out of the hospital. It still shakes me to my soul, the idea that the stranger chose that house in the middle of nowhere, trying to get inside. And if I hadn't got off the couch when I did, this may have ended very differently. Back in May of 2010, while in desperate need of cash, I agreed to house sit for one of my old high school teachers. He had contacted me via Facebook and asked me if I would be willing to water his plants, collect his mail, and clean up the place while he went out of town for a couple of days. He didn't specify where he was going, but he agreed to pay me $400 for 2.5 days, with half up front. So I agreed. I never really liked him in high school. He was teaching classic literature, and he always seemed to enjoy pointing out any illustrations that in any way featured nudity. His eyes always seemed hungry, and he tended to wheeze like he was out of breath, even though he was kind of a small guy. My friends and I used to refer to him as Mr. Liptit. When I arrived at his place, the key was beneath the mat, and $200 were in an envelope on the kitchen table. I turned on my music, watered the plants, cleaned and vacuumed the ground floor, and made myself dinner. I found his house to be extremely boring. It was filled with old books, stacks of newspapers, and ancient-looking furniture that didn't really look comfortable to sit in. I settled into my sleeping bag on the guest bed, but I had a hard time staying asleep. It seemed that every 5 minutes there was another strange noise coming from the house, and it would put me on edge. The following morning, I went back to my own house, had breakfast, and took a shower before coming back and cleaning the second floor. Upon entering the guest bedroom, there was the faint smell of something in the air that definitely had not been there before. And what's more, I could have sworn that my sleeping bag was in a slightly different position when I had left it that morning. I started getting a bad vibe. I decided that night that I would sleep downstairs in the living room. I finished cleaning just after 10 p.m. I made some popcorn and enjoyed some cable TV, which I didn't have at my place. Around 11, I shut off the TV, wrapped myself up in my sleeping bag, and tried to drift off. I was tossing and turning for a bit, and just as I began to doze off, there came a click of the doorknob turning in the other room. I glanced over, and I swear by any god you choose, Mr. Liptek emerged from the pantry wearing only his socks. He then slowly turned the corner and made his way upstairs. I grabbed my phone and my keys and exited out the back door quietly. I ran around front to get into my car and sped home, where I immediately called the cops. I didn't know exactly how to explain the situation to them. I mean, he wasn't breaking and entering. It was his house. But when I explained to the operator that he had deceived me into thinking that he was gone, they sent out a patrol car. I had to collect the stuff that I had left at his house anyway. When the police arrived, Mr. Liptek answered the door wearing my sleeping bag over his shoulders. The police discovered a butler's cupboard, which was a secret room in the pantry that I wasn't aware of, where he had been hiding with a digital camera. He had taken a few dozen photos of me all around the house, most of which when I was sleeping. I showed the police the Facebook messages he sent me, assuring me that he would be out of town, and they arrested him. I collected all my remaining stuff, but left the sleeping bag. I didn't waste any time getting a restraining order against him. Mr. Liptek made bail, but actually died of a heart attack a few weeks later, after being rear-ended in his car at a stoplight. I never got the rest of my money.
My name is Jack, and this is the story about me and my friends who were almost the victims of a home invasion. I was home alone, and just to map it out, my house is out in the country surrounded by the woods, and there were only a few houses on each side and across. My brother Alex was out at a party, and our parents were out of town for business. I was watching scary movies, and I got really bored, so I called over two of my friends, for obvious reasons. I'm gonna use their first name initials, so I invited A and C over to hang out and watch some scary movies with me. After A and C arrived, we had watched the new Scream movie, and it was really amazing. After watching the movie, we had went to hang out on my balcony. There was a really light breeze outside, and it felt really nice. After about 5 minutes of being outside, we had heard something come from the tree line of the woods. C went inside to go get a flashlight, and A and I sat outside and listened for more sounds. After about 2 minutes of C being in the house, we had heard really fast footsteps coming from every direction. It was completely dark outside, and the only light was the backyard light. A and I just stood there for 10 seconds, and the footsteps getting closer and closer by the second. That's when I then yelled, "Dude, run!" And then A and I ran into the house and slammed the door and locked it. C came running downstairs, asking us what was happening. I explained to him that someone or something was running towards us after he went into the house. After that, we then heard banging on the back door, but we couldn't see who it was because there were blinds there. We stared at the door, and then someone started banging on the front door and the garage door too. We now knew that there were more than two people, but we were kind of confused about how someone got into the garage without us hearing it open. All of a sudden, the intruder started knocking on all three doors simultaneously. So all three of us then ran upstairs and then hid in my mom and dad's closet, because it was a really big walk-in. While we were hiding, I had called the police, and they had said they already had a dispatch on their way because apparently they already got a call from neighbors saying that three masked men had emerged from three different parts of the woods and then started running towards our house and started running around our house and knocking on doors and windows. After I got off the phone with the police, I had called my brother and I told him what was happening. And while I was explaining, I heard the sound of glass shattering from downstairs, and then the sound of three men laughing. Tears then flooded my eyes as everything had finally sunk in at once. And then in my mind, I was really thinking I was gonna die. ANC's eyes started getting teary as everything had sunk in for them too. As I could then hear the men walking up the stairs, I heard the police sirens in the distance, and I heard the three men running down the stairs. And then right in that moment, I heard it. "This is the police. Hands up." I was filled with relief as the police officer ran up to the closet and told us we could come out, and that they got two of the three men in custody. When the three of us went downstairs, I saw the two men, and they looked disgusting, and had really big grins on their faces. It made me sick to my stomach that they enjoyed this. I had asked the cops what happened to the third guy, and they said that he got away and went back into the woods. The neighbor came over to make sure we were okay, and I thanked her a whole bunch of times for calling the police. After all that happened, my brother came home and we called ANC's parents to come get them. And because one of the men had escaped and was still at large, we stayed at C's house since he had the biggest house. We stayed all week there since it was spring break, and our parents wouldn't be back until the end of the week. A week had passed by the time our parents came to pick us up, and when we got home, all of our windows were broken, but nothing got stolen. We called the police to see if they could test for fingerprints, but there was nothing there. My dad ended up getting a promotion, so we're going to be moving to the city where it's more lively, and he'll get to work from home. This experience really scared the absolute shit out of me and my friends, and I just really, really hope I never have to go through something like this ever again. This happened back in 1994, when I was 15. My friend Becky had asked me to stay the night. It was her parents' anniversary, so they were going out, and her sister was staying the night with a friend. So she really didn't want to be alone. I went home from school with her on that Friday. Now, to understand the story, you must understand the layout of the house. Now, when you pulled into the driveway, there was no garage, but there was a carport. The driveway had a walkway up to the front door, and the carport had a door that opened to the kitchen. This was a two-story house, so when you walked in through either of these doors, you could go through the living room to the back, as well as downstairs where my friend Becky and her sister's rooms were. It was also a laundry room, so the area was big. When you came down the stairs, the laundry area was to the left, and to the right was a sliding glass door that opened to the backyard. Now, if you walked straight, it led to Becky's room, and then to the left of her room was a large closet. And then to the left of the closet was her sister's bedroom, which led back to the laundry room. It was like a square area from the bottom of the staircase. Now, Becky's room was next to the backyard, and her bedroom window lined up with the ground. We were having a good time listening to music and gossiping about people at school, like most teenage girls do on a Friday night in the 90s. I was resting with my head against the window because her bed was laid up against it, and I had remembered how the window lined up with the ground. Suddenly, my head jolted, and I heard a strange noise from outside the window. Becky could just see the fear in my eyes, so she turned down the music, and she asked me what was wrong. As she proceeded to turn down the music, my head jolted yet again, and we heard the strange noise. Both of us this time. We were scared, and we then jumped up, ran to her sister's room, and called 911. We hung up, but 911 called us back. We told them what happened, but they were really scared for a second. But then we thought it was lame to call 911 because it was probably nothing. Well, they thought it was best to send in an officer anyways, just to check it out. They told us to head upstairs and to make sure all the doors were locked and the windows, and that an officer would be at the front door soon to check on us. For a moment there, we were really scared to head upstairs, because the staircase was next to the sliding glass door that led to the backyard with no curtains or anything for privacy. So if you were outside, you could definitely see in. Out of nowhere, Becky's dog barks, and Becky gets so concerned, and she tells me that she has to open the back door to let her inside. At this point, we were terrified. We started crying. I asked her to please not open the door, but she was really upset, and she didn't want anything to happen to her dog. We then finally got the courage to open the door. We grabbed the dog quickly, shut and locked the door, and then ran back upstairs as fast as we could. Once we got upstairs, we hid out in the kitchen and then waited for the police. It honestly seemed like hours, and I had sat on the floor hiding because there were so many windows, and I didn't want anyone outside to see me. Finally, we saw headlights. We then opened the door from the kitchen that led to the carport to go greet the officer. It was her parents, but as soon as her parents got out of the car, the police officer showed up too. Becky's dad had then started to laugh and then said, "What have you girls been up to?" We proceeded to tell him what happened, and the officer got his flashlight out to have a look around. It was probably around 11 o'clock at night when this happened. We then went in the house while the cop looked around. It had done a little bit of raining that evening, so the cop was able to see the footprints that led up to the front door, and the footprints next to her bedroom window as well. Becky and I just looked at each other in disbelief. Someone really had been at her bedroom window when I felt my head jolt and that weird noise. Someone was trying to break in. The officer didn't find anyone, but he told us to be careful and to call if we hear anything. About an hour or so later, we were falling asleep when all of a sudden, her dog, who had been left back outside, began to bark ferociously. By the time we got out of bed, her dad was already in the backyard with a shotgun, yelling his ass off for someone to get out of the yard. The person then jumped the fence to the cemetery. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention, but Becky's backyard was right next to a cemetery. Someone had been hiding in the storage unit in the backyard for God knows how long, and who the hell knows what they wanted. Becky and I just looked at each other again in terror. Who the hell was this person who took off through the cemetery, and what would have happened if they had broken in while we were there alone? I don't even want to think about it. This happened about 6 years ago when I was 16. For some context, I'll give you the layout of my house. When you enter the front door, you'd be led into the living room. If you keep going straight, you'll enter a little hallway. To the right is the kitchen, and straight ahead is the staircase. To the left is the downstairs bathroom. When you get upstairs, my bedroom is straight ahead. To the left is my parents' bedroom, and then to the right is the upstairs bathroom. Sorry about that, but I just had to explain the layout. Now here's the story. This also happened whenever the clown craze was happening, so keep that in mind. Anyways, my parents were going on vacation to another state. I didn't really want to go, so my dad just gave me his debit card to survive while they were gone. They were really only supposed to be gone for about a week, but that didn't happen. This happened on the fourth night. I was just watching the news when another clown attack had been reported. I remember thinking to myself, man, these clowns are really fucking crazy. After that, I had started to get really hungry, so I ordered myself some Chinese takeout. I went up to my room to eat and watch a little bit of YouTube. When I was about halfway done with my food, I had heard a loud smash come from downstairs. I then went downstairs to check it out. Since I left the lights on downstairs, I could clearly see who was there. And as you can imagine, it was probably the most disturbing thing that I'd ever seen. It was a man dressed up as a clown, but the entire costume was really dirty. But the most disturbing part of it all was that he was actually holding a fucking machete. I quietly sneaked up to my parents' room and locked the door. I went to hide in their bathtub, and that's when I decided to call the police. I then heard the clown start to open and close the doors that were downstairs. Then, I had heard him make his way upstairs. I was being as quiet as I possibly could, trying not to get caught. He then started banging on my parents' bedroom door. I'm not even kidding, I almost shit myself. I decided to jump out the window. Not really caring about my injuries, I ran to the nearest neighbor's house to try and get some help. As I was running, I had seen some cops driving down the road. I ran to them and I told them what happened and all about the clown that had broken into the house. They rushed inside my house and they caught him. The cops had called my parents and they came home immediately. I rarely ever stayed home alone after that, and I always went with my parents. I'm 22 years old now, and I still have nightmares all about that incident. I always wonder what could have happened to me if I didn't jump out the window, or if the police weren't there. And for the psychotic clown that did this, I hope you rot in hell for what you did to me. Fuck you.
There was a time my parents went on a trip to Europe. I was taking care of their house. I was home for the summer from school anyway, so it was fine. I had been there for a few weeks and it was pretty quiet. I just went to work, came home, had some time with my friend, enjoying the house to ourselves and whatnot. But one night, I was just laying there watching TV when I heard this really weird, low whistling sound coming from the window that was behind the couch. It struck me as sort of odd, and I just shrugged it off. But then it happened again. It totally sounded like it was a person standing up against the window whistling. I looked out the window and obviously there was no one there, so I figured I should go check it out. If it was something like the wind on the siding, I should probably fix it because that would get annoying. So I walked out into the backyard. The backyard of my parents' house is really, really pretty. It's sparse, but sort of forest that leads to a road on the other side. So I looked at the house and didn't see anything, but then I heard the sound again. It was coming from the woods in the back. I was pretty creeped out at this point, and of course I couldn't see anything in the woods, so I hurried back through the door and I locked it behind me. I never really heard that sound again for the next few days, until one night I was asleep in my room. And I could have sworn I was awakened by the whistling sound against my second floor window. I listened hard, and it was dead silent. So I decided I should go ahead and look out the window. I did that whole thing where I crept super slowly towards it, and just sort of peeked through it. Outside my window, there was a man just standing there. I was really sleepy, so I can't know how much of this I'm misremembering. But he was just sitting there staring at me. I was completely frozen, and slowly, the man pursed his lips, and I could hear that whistle again. It was crystal clear. It made me feel like crying. I tore myself away from the window and I hid under my covers. The next night, I insisted that my friend stay with me. He did, and of course, nothing happened. He figured that I was just tired and delirious, and maybe I was right. It gets kind of anticlimactic here, but I didn't hear it for another week or so. And when I did, it was just one small whistle just happening randomly, coming from a wall or something like that. It just happens every week or so, and it always freaks me out tremendously. To this day, I would never stay in that house alone anymore.